God's holy word. Woe to them, for they walked in the way of Cain and abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error and perished in Korah's rebellion. These are hidden reeves at your love feasts, as they feast with you without fear, shepherds feeding themselves, waterless clouds swept along by winds, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead uprooted. I told you it's scorched earth. Wild waves of the sea casting up the foam of their own shame, wandering stars for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way, and of the harsh things that ungodly," that's ungodly number four, "sinners have spoken against him." These are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They are loud-mouthed boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage. Yes, this is God's word, and this is the passage we are in today. The title of today's sermon is False Teachers, Their Profile, and Their End. Bow with me and let's pray, please, as we begin. Thank you, O Father in heaven, for this time of gathering, for the baptisms we've witnessed, for the worship, singing, sacred songs, reading the scriptures, praying together. And now as we come to the preaching and hearing, we pray, O Lord, that you would cause this to make us more like Jesus Christ. Help us to grow as his followers, as his disciples. And may you even use this to draw those who are yet in their sins to the Savior. For we pray in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. All right, just about anything good on this planet has a phony counterpart. You make something, they'll make a phony. You're looking for somebody to help you invest for retirement. Good idea. Start when you're young. You want somebody to help you invest for old age. You might find one who's really good at that and will faithfully do the job for you, or you might find one who's got a Ponzi scheme and you're going to lose it all. There's the real deal and there's the phony. You're going to buy a used car. May the Lord help you. There's somebody who wants to sell you a really fine one. They've gone over it. It's really, really good. It is what they say it is. There's somebody else who wants to rip you off. And it's phony, and it's a terrible car. Just about anything good on the planet has a phony counterpart. And so it's no surprise that when we have the Word of God and the ministry of the Word of God and biblical churches and biblical ministries, there are also phony ministries. There are hucksters, there are frauds, there are imposters who just want to use portions of God's word to get gain, to satisfy their own lusts and their own desires. It should come as no surprise because it's a fallen world and everything good also has a phony, or just about everything anyway, has a counterpart. So Jude is teaching us to save us from falling prey to their devices. You who were just baptized today, we bless the Lord for you. We want to see you following and following and following Christ to your last breath and into heaven you go. You will encounter many, many false teachers along the way, especially now in these days of the World Wide Web. They're everywhere. They're showing up in your pocket, on your device, on YouTube, one after another after another. It did sound a little funny, didn't it? You have false prophets in your pocket, all right? So Judas is warning us. So no wonder he's going scorched earth. No wonder it's no holds barred, no punches pulled. This is serious stuff. There are phonies who would lead us astray from Jesus Christ. He's going to describe them to us so we can recognize them and know how dangerous they are and stay away. All right, you ready? Verse 11. Woe to them. Then he describes them by naming them. They're like three Old Testament people. For they walked in the way of Cain and abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error and perished in Korah's rebellion. Woe to them. The term woe to them is not new to you if you've been reading the Bible. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus Christ pronounces seven woes on the false spiritual leaders of his day, on the scribes and the Pharisees who were rejecting him as their Christ and their Messiah. Some of the Old Testament prophets pronounce woes on apostate people. And a woe, what is a woe? A woe, somebody said, this is good, is a mourning with a warning. There's a sense of mourning in a woe. It's not like, ha ha, I'm really happy you're so bad. No, it's, oh, woe to you. There's mourning involved in it, but there's also a warning. Woe to you, look what's coming. Man, woe to you, look where you're headed. Look what the end is of your life. There is a prophetic warning of impending judgment in the word woe. Why woe to them? Well, in this same part, he describes them, as I mentioned, like three different Old Testament characters. Woe to them because, one, they walked in the way of Cain. They're living like Cain. They're acting like Cain. You remember Cain, Adam and Eve, and they had Cain, the first boy born on the planet, and then Abel. And what happened? Cain slew Abel because of his jealousy. And then Cain got all snooty with God. What, am I my brother's keeper? So without those details about Cain, fratricide, murder, and trash-talking God, those aren't the thing. Here's the thing. Like Cain took the evil path. Abel was godly. He and his gift, God honored. Cain, his gift was cheap. Whatever junk came into his hand, he offered an offering. And God did not accept him or his offering. And he was angry about that and jealous about that. And he went on the crooked path that leads to destruction. They're like Cain. They're on the Cain path. So there are false teachers on the World Wide Web. There are false teachers in buildings you might visit. There are false teachers on various other kinds of airwaves and whatnot. And they are like Cain. They present themselves as Christian ministers with Christian ministries. They mention the name God. They use a verse here and there out of the Bible, but they're really on the Cain path. They're really on the Cain life. Woe to them. Who else are they like? Balaam. Balaam up there. Numbers 22 to 24, Balaam appears a number of times. Now, Balaam was a prophet for hire. He wanted you to hire him, tell him what prophecy you needed, and he would try to give it if the Lord would let him, because he wanted your cash. Balaam was a prophet for hire. He was a coin-operated preacher. For him it was, as the verse says, for the sake of gain. His motive was greed. Same thing with false teachers in our day. They're Balaamites. They're animated by greed. I want a bigger following. I want more fame. I want more book deals. A lot of money in book deals. I keep mentioning them. I want more money coming in. He has a corporate jet in his ministry. I want a corporate jet in my ministry. They're like Balaam, greed. They tell you on the airwaves, send my ministry $1,000 and supernatural blessings will come down on you. Don't be so foolish. Don't you dare send them that money. And then they're described by a third person, Korah. What's the Korah's rebellion part? That's in the book of Numbers 2. And Korah and some company, Korah and Co., led a rebellion against Moses. Somebody's having fun. Somebody else is having fun. All right, back to you. Back. Moses. The most godly, holy man in the entire Old Testament. The man who experienced more of the presence of God and the power of God and brought the word of God down from the mountain where he'd been supernaturally sustained 40 days and 40 nights by God and all the rest about Moses. And these uppity people rebelled against Moses, saying to him, quote, you take too much upon yourselves. Moses and Aaron. And these people were like Korah and Co. The earth, by the way, the earth swallowed up, opened up and swallowed them. And these false teachers are like them. They're not rebelling against Moses. Well, they are. They don't like the law of Moses, but they're rebelling against God's authority. They want to be the authority. They are the gods in their own movement. Woe to them. They're like Cain and Balaam and Korah. So don't be duped. Don't send them money. Don't swallow what they're peddling. Recognize, wait a minute, these people are like that. There's more of what they're like. And man, Jude doesn't spare them. Now he is going scorched earth. These are, verse 12, these are hidden reefs at your love feasts, as they feast with you without fear. Shepherds feeding themselves. Waterless clouds swept along by winds. Fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted, Jude 12. Jude, I wish you'd say what you're really thinking. Hidden reefs. This is maritime stuff, right? You're out in your ship, and got a sail, and the wind's blowing you, and you don't see it, but it's there. There's a whole lot of rocks forming a reef, and you're heading right into it, and wham, you sail right into the rocks, and you're in trouble. It's a bad day. You might suffer an absolute shipwreck. You might go down, and that's what these are. They're like hidden. They're hidden. Remember he said earlier, they creep in unawares. They don't come in wearing a sign, warning, warning, danger, danger, I'm a heretic. No, they come in looking like a sheep, looking like a shepherd, talking about Jesus. They have a ministry for Jesus. They're actually hiding something. What is that? They're servants of the devil. They're on the path of Cain. They're like submerged rocks. And you sail into their ministry, they want to shipwreck your faith, and they will. They will. Furthermore, he says, they're shepherds feeding themselves. This is almost certainly taken from Ezekiel chapter 34. Let me read from that chapter. It's not up there. It's just right here. Ezekiel 34, 1 through 3. Ezekiel says, the word of the Lord came to me. Here's what it said. Quote, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have you been feeding yourselves? Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. Ezekiel 34, 1 to 3. This is from that. Shepherds feeding themselves. What's a shepherd supposed to do? Feed the flock. Remember, Jesus said to Peter, Peter, do you love me? Yes. Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Yes. Tend my lambs. Do you love me? Yes. You know I love you. You know all things. Feed my sheep. The shepherds are there to feed the sheep, to care for the sheep. These shepherds, quote unquote, are in it for themselves. The sheep exist for them. They just want to fleece the sheep. They just want to say, send me $1,000 and supernatural blessing will come down upon you. He also describes them, waterless clouds swept along by winds. Now, what's a waterless cloud? Well, it's a ripoff, that's what it is. Because everything's parched and your crops aren't doing too good and you're praying for rain. And then you see a cloud the size of a man's hand out on the horizon, and you get your device because it's today, and you look at the radar, and you see there's a massive big green blotch with a lot of red in it too. It's coming our way. It's coming right for us. Yay, we're going to get some rain. And the entire event takes 4 hours for it all to pass over you, and not one drop. What a disappointment. What a ripoff. Cloud, dark cloud says, rain is coming, rain is coming. It promises, but it does not deliver. That's them. They promise, we'll help you spiritually. We'll help you to know God. We'll help you to go to heaven. They're doing none of the above. They're fleecing you to build their ministry and their name. Waterless clouds swept along by winds. What are the winds? Maybe the winds of their own lusts. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Maybe the winds of false doctrine. Maybe the winds of current cultural things. You're swept along. They're swept along by winds. I'm reminded of Ephesians 4, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. That's what they're doing. It's human cunning. It's craftiness in deceitful schemes. But they show up in the pulpit with their Bible when they talk about Jesus, sometimes, sort of. So you must be discerning. And now he goes for more. They are fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted. Whew. Fruitless trees in autumn. So you planted a tree, you wanted some figs. It's May, no figs. It's July, no figs. It's September, still no figs. It's November, still no figs. Man, worthless tree. I thought I'd plant a tree, I thought I'd get some figs. No, fruitless trees in late autumn. And here they are. And you go to their ministry because you want some fruit for your soul. You want more of Christ for your soul. And you go and you go and you go and you don't get any more of Christ. And they're twice dead. What does twice dead mean? That just, I don't know what it means. It means really dead. In other words, they don't have the life of God in their soul. They're not regenerate. They're dead in their trespasses and sins. They're lost as the devil. Twice dead. Uprooted even. That's how little life there is in them. This is what the false teachers in his day and in our day are. More, Jude 13. They are wild waves of the sea, casting up the foam of their own shame, wandering stars for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. Ooh. Wild waves of the sea. Almost certainly a reference to Isaiah 57:20. I'll read it for you. But the wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet, and its waters toss up mire and dirt. Wild waves of the sea casting up the foam of their own shame. What's the point of wild waves? They are destructive. You ever been in a boat in destructive wild waves? I haven't. I've been in boats, but haven't been in that. Maybe you might think, have you ever been to the beach and you're body surfing maybe, or you're boogie boarding, but the waves are really wild that day? But you go out and do it anyway, and you get flipped and slammed on the bottom and your back hurts and all this stuff. That's my experience of wild waves, trying to do that thing, right? Do I have any compatriots in the room? Yeah. Uh-huh. That's fun. False teachers are like those wild waves. They'll spin you around and slam you. They are destructive, casting up the foam of their own shame. Like in Isaiah, its waters toss up mire and dirt. What this is saying is they're not only destructive, but they're depraved. You ever stand along the beach and you see the foam and it looks brown? It looks dirty, like I don't even want to walk. I don't want my feet in that foam. That's what they're talking about. They're casting up their own moral filth. Wandering stars for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. Wandering stars. Now we go from the ocean up into space. And there are stars. So this is ancient cosmology. It was 2,000 years ago. I don't think he had a telescope. But they lived in an arid climate with very little city lights going on. And man, you could see stars. You could see the Milky Way big time, all the time. So everybody knew stars. And he says, these false teachers are like wandering stars. Now, most of the stars had a course. And the same night, each course, the sky would change a little. You could navigate by them. They were that reliable. They're going to be in the expected course. But then there were these wandering stars. They didn't know it. They were actually planets. The word wandering stars is a Greek word, plane, from which we get planets. They were actually planets, and they didn't follow the course like the stars moving through the night sky. And he says, these are like that. They're not on the path. They're not reliable. You cannot navigate your life by them. They're like the wandering stars. And not only that, but they're like the stars for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. Oh, whoa. Woe to them. And next comes a promise of judgment, Jude 14 to 15. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way, and all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Four ungodlies in there. But when Enoch prophesied all of that, he's talking about people like these, the false teachers in that day and the false teachers in our day. One more verse, and then we're doing some observations. Jude 16. These are grumblers, malcontents or fault finders, following their own sinful desires. They are loud-mouthed boasters. Man, if that's not written about Kenneth Copeland, I don't know what is. Showing favoritism to gain advantage. First, they are grumblers. Now, I'm going to make a guess. I'm just thinking, because you're all human and I'm human, that every one of us has grumbled at some point in our life, right? You ever grumbled? Yeah. So to be human is to sometimes grumble. But these don't just once in a while grumble. These are grumblers. It's their job and they're good at it. And they're busy in it. They're grumbling about God. They're grumbling about the will of God. They're grumbling that he has a jet and I don't. They're grumbling that not enough of my people sent in the $1,000. They're grumblers. They're grumbling at Moses. They're grumbling at God. They don't like the will of God. They like their own will. They are malcontents or fault finders. What are they finding fault with? God's truth. Because they don't teach it. They don't preach it. They pervert it. They twist it to their own destruction. Following their own sinful desires. They're not animated, I said this last week, by the Spirit of God. They're not animated by the Word of God. It's not that they have regenerate new hearts that love Christ and the kingdom of God and the things of God and just want to make Christ known and serve him. No, they're not animated by that at all. They're animated by, again, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Following their own sinful desires, and they are loud-mouthed boasters. Man, are they. Because they're about themselves. Their ministry is about themselves. Showing favoritism to gain advantage. Coin-operated ministry. Here to fleece the sheep. So, there's 11 through 16, scorched earth. Now, we're going to make some observations. Y'all okay with some observations? Here's the first one. All right, so we evangelicals need to recover our prophetic voice. We need more of it. There's too little. Jude is very, 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 very prophetic voice. For three sermons in a row, we're just working through all he does that's really prophetic and really scorching and really brings judgment into souls. And we evangelicals need to recover more of the prophetic voice like Jesus Christ had, like the Old Testament prophets had. Where is that prophetic voice today? We can find it, but not in many places. Where are the bold, thus saith the Lord's, instead of rebranding everything to affirm current cultural norms, to rebrand and soften everything so as not to offend? We need prophetic preaching. I'll give you a current example of somewhere where we could use a prophetic voice. I'll say with sorrow, I'm sorry, I'm sure you are too, the Pope died. We're always sorry when someone dies. My best guess is he died in his sins. I'm really sorry. No glee in me about that. But now, squishy, big Eva types are eulogizing him. Classic example, Russell Moore, at it again. He's the, I don't know what the title is, president, manager, whatever, of the magazine Christianity Today, which someone else called Christianity Astray. Just praising the Pope. He was a particularly heretical Pope, even for a Roman Catholic. Where's the prophetic voice? Rome is not the Church of God. Rome is utterly false in its doctrine. Rome is a false religion. There might be people saved. There certainly are people saved in Rome, but they're saved in spite of it, not because of it. Amen. That's been the prophetic voice of the Church of Christ at least since the Reformation. Let me give you some examples. What did Martin Luther have to say about the Pope? 1536, quote, "The Pope is the very Antichrist who has exalted himself above and opposed himself against Christ because he will not permit Christians to be saved without his power." Amen. Was that toxic masculinity or was it prophetic preaching? How about Philip Melanchthon a little bit later, 1537, just a year later, he says, "The Pope's claims to spiritual authority fit the characteristics of the Antichrist." Prophetic voice. The Hungarian Confession, 1566, calls the Pope the Antichrist who raises himself above God and pollutes the chaste virgin of Christ. Prophetic voice. How about the great Westminster Confession of Faith, 1646, quote, "There is no other head of the church but the Lord Jesus Christ, nor can the Pope of Rome in any sense be head thereof, but is that Antichrist, that man of sin and son of perdition, that exalteth himself in the church against Christ and all that is called God," end quote. Prophetic voice. What about the Savoy Declaration, 1658? "The Pope is that Antichrist, that man of sin and son of perdition," prophetic voice. What about, my beloved, London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689? "The Pope is the Antichrist, that man of lawlessness and the son of destruction who exalts himself in the church against Christ." Prophetic voice. All down through church history, prophetic voice. And what is it now? Praise him. Eulogize him. Declare his virtues. We evangelicals need to recover our prophetic voice. Some bold, "Thus saith the Lord's." Here's a second observation as we close. We evangelicals also need to preach about judgment and the last day and hell sometime. Sometimes. Not every week. Next week is Mother's Day. I'm not preaching that next week. All right? And you mothers! No, we're not gonna do that next week. But sometimes we ought to be preaching about judgment. Who's preaching about judgment and the last day and hell? Because it's in the Bible, and we preach what's in the Bible. We want the whole counsel of God, and we want to warn people. There's a judgment day coming. Do we care about them? Well, if they were headed into a minefield, would we not warn them? Do we care about them? Do we love them? Well, if their house is on fire, would we not warn them? Do we love them? Do we care about them? They're heading for judgment without Christ. Should we not warn them? Tell them what's coming? What's waiting for them? Why are evangelicals largely suppressing any talk about hell, judgment, the last day? Do we not really believe those things? Are we embarrassed by those things? Are we ashamed of those things? Do we think it's bad for evangelism? More like we think it's bad for church growth. Do we think we'll win more people if we hide the hard parts of the Word of God? Like we know better than God? God will help you sharpen your act here. We'll eliminate the parts that don't sell. Do we think God needs a PR department and some tone police to help him out? Man, the Jude's tone. Tone police would be all over him. Does God need help rewriting his script? We would say to him, "God, this part here about judgment, we're going to take that part out because it doesn't represent you very well." Instead of a real prophetic biblical voice, we have things like, I'll just give you one example, the "He Gets Us" campaign. Are you familiar with that? He Gets Us? So in that campaign, it's still going on. By the end of this year, they expect to have spent $300 million on that campaign. No, I'm sorry, that was a little while ago. They're planning on spending $1 billion by late this year. $1 billion on the campaign. And the message of the campaign is, "He gets us." Is there anywhere in the Bible that says that? Did any apostle or any prophet ever make that their message? "I'm going to go tell the world, God, that you get them." Like, is that supposed to lead sinners to the cross? Did Abraham visit Sodom? "Good news, everybody, he gets us." Did Jonah roll into Nineveh? Don't worry, Ninevites, he gets us. Did Jeremiah write to apostate Israel? Hey, no problem, he gets us. Can you show me anywhere in sacred writ in the Bible where that was ever the message? This is evangelism based on the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Not a bad book, by the way. Some of y'all ought to read it probably, but anyway, but not for your evangelistic methodology. We evangelicals need to preach about judgment and the last day sometimes. I had a guy out there by the coffee in between services, and he told me he really liked this message, and he said, Pastor, if you want to go hellfire and brimstone, I'd love it. Right. Not next Sunday. Right. A third observation, we need to be aware of some of the favorite doctrines of false teachers and of demons behind them, 1 Timothy 4:1, in our day. Let me give you a few. I have a list that's way too long. We figured that out first service, so now I know it, and I'll tell you all too. And I'm going to pick some of the ones I most want you to hear about. What are some of the definite doctrinal errors that we hear about in our day? Well, here's one. Parts of the Bible aren't the Word of God. They're just some guy's opinion. That's all over the place. Which parts changes from time to time depending on where the winds are blowing out in culture? But that is always evil. Or, here's another one we hear in our day. Well, I go with Jesus, not so much Paul. That's everywhere. I'm guessing 2.5 years ago, young man who was part of this church asked, can we meet? We met in Panera. How many meetings I've had in Panera over by Wegmans? I always buy coffee to justify my presence. Using up their space, I need to be a patron. All right. Buy a coffee and talk with him. He wanted to tell me why he was leaving Cornerstone Church. And one of his earlier reasons was, I go with Jesus, not so much Paul. And it makes me mourn. So sorry. Because the books given by Paul are the will of God. They're the word of God. They come from Jesus Christ. The whole book is from Jesus Christ. He's our great prophet. If you're going with Jesus, you'll go with Paul. Here's another one that's popular in our day. And we have radically new ways to interpret the hard parts of the Bible. Yeah, I bet you do. But so does the devil, and so did every heretic in church history. But listen to Jeremiah 6:16. It reads, thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it. And find rest for your souls. Down with those radically new ways to reinterpret the Bible and get rid of the will of God. Here's another one of the definite errors in our day, and there are ministries and ministries for this. It's just the health and wealth gospel. God wants you to be rich. The Bible never says God wants you to be rich. Now, if you get rich because of the opportunities he has given you and the gifts and your own diligence and hard work, bless the Lord. Fast forward to 1 Timothy chapter 6 that tells you what you as a rich man or woman ought to do, and it's not give it all away. How dare you be rich? Nothing wrong with getting rich. Bless the Lord that you got rich. Take me out in your boat sometime. I'll celebrate with you. All right? But the Bible nowhere says it is the will of God that all of his people be rich and healthy. No, it's the will of God that we be content with the things he's given us. And then there's next the new apostolic reformation known as the NAR with its modern apostles and prophets and all of their so-called extra-biblical revelations. And then there's, you got to mention this one, the word of faith movement. You know about that, don't you? They said, just by you speaking a word of faith, you can command things to come to you. I want that house, and I'm speaking a word of faith over that house, and now that house will come to me because I'm actuating the powers in the universe to get me the things I want. Evil. Or I got a tumor and I don't want the tumor and I'm going to speak a word of faith over the tumor so the tumor will go away from me. Well, I pray it does. Pray God, the Lord will be merciful to you and it would go away. But the word of faith movement is evil. Believers in it are little gods with divine authority to command things to come and go. Then we ought to mention progressive Christianity. I'll just leave that sitting there. And then we ought to mention moralistic therapeutic deism. I bet I got you on that one. Look it up. I'm not even going to talk about it. But it's very popular among young people now who are raised in church but are rejecting it. and are not regenerated by the Spirit of God. And then we have Andy Stanley down there in Atlanta saying we should get unhitched from the Old Testament, and now he's gone farther, and we allow gay marriage, and farther, we embrace trans, and we're instructing our teams in how to be accepting to the trans people who want to be involved in our ministries. Andy Stanley. And then there's all kinds of other things. We're going to go down to naturalistic evolution. This is an error in our day that doesn't come from inside the church, but it's certainly coming to us from outside the church. Natural evolution is a scientific fact, and we'll adjust the Bible to fit it. There's some of that. I'm just going to move on. Let's go to narcissism, because they might enjoy that one. You know what exegesis is? Exegesis is what the minister is supposed to do, the teacher is supposed to do. You are ex, you're bringing the meaning out of the text so that you're going to teach or preach the intent of the original author. That's what we're supposed to do. What did he mean when he wrote that? I'm going to bring that meaning out and then preach it and apply it to the people in our church. Narcissism brings yourself out of the text. So if you're preaching on David, you become David. And it's about you and your struggles against the giants in the world. There's a whole lot of narcissism going on. And not much different from them. There's motivational messages. This is just huge now. It's just huge. Watch out for this. Very often, it's a really talented speaker. They're really good. The place is huge. The music was like a rock concert. It's just unbelievable. But not what church is supposed to be, by the way. And the messages are all about you, your potential. Oh man, that was just big. Empowering you, your success, overcoming your personal obstacles, overcoming the enemy, never named, undesignated. It's just whatever you want your enemy to be. It could be your boss. Motivational messages. I want to put in 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4 right here from the New King James. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they'll heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. The motivational messages are fables. They're not a faithful ministry of the Word of God. Furthermore, I think we must test all teachers and doctrines by the word. The numbers aren't going to make sense to you because I'm jumping around. Forget the number four. But we must test all teachers and doctrines by the word. Like those in Berea in Acts 17. Now these Jews were more noble than the ones in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. We want that. We also must all grow in discernment. Let me give you two references on that. This is all about discernment. We must all grow in discernment. It's number six, Slavian. Thank you, brother. And here's a verse, Philippians 1:9. And this I pray, that your love may overflow still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, all discernment. Hebrews 5:14, solid food from the word is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. We must all grow in discernment because there's lots of fake, there's lots of phony, there's lots of false out there. Hey, it was kind of fun. After the service last Sunday, after the early service, one of you mentioned a man to me who has a discernment ministry, and it's really excellent. His name is Justin Peters. He has Justin Peters Ministries. And after the second service, another one of you mentioned to me Justin Peters and how much you profit from him. I've often watched his stuff, and I want to just commend him to all of you. He's going to be absolutely solid biblically, doctrinally, but he's really into, here's what's really going on with that ministry. Here's what these people are really up to. Here's what they really believe. Check out Justin Peters Ministries, who wrote his THM thesis on Benny Hinn and the Word of Faith movement. Justin Peters Ministries. No, I do not receive anything from him for this commercial. All right. That's it for Jude today. Not next Sunday, Mother's Day. Bow with me and let's pray together. Father, thank you for your holy word, and we pray that you would cause us to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus and to wisdom and biblical discernment, that we might keep ourselves by the grace of God from error, from heretics and their heresies, and be found in Christ faithful until the very last breath, that we may be in his presence and hear the joyful words, "Well done, good and faithful service, enter into the joy of the Lord." We want that, O Lord. We pray for people here who are not Christians and who are looking in thinking, I wonder if I want to believe this, and give them discernment that they may stay away from all the phonies and the frauds, lead them to churches and mouthpieces and ministries that faithfully exposit your word, that teach them the gospel and point them to Christ, we pray. May Cornerstone Church continue on long after the current elders are all dead and gone. May it continue on, Lord. Upholding truth, would you keep the people of Cornerstone a discerning people, that they would never allow such errors and falsehoods to creep into this church? May this church always minister the whole and the pure word of God. We pray in Jesus' name. With thanksgiving, amen.